Welcome to Affiliate Marketing Millionaire, the official podcast for the number one affiliate marketing channel on YouTube, with over 36 million views and counting. Here are your hosts, ODI Productions and Kit Thatch.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Affiliate Marketing Millionaire Podcast, back for the third week in a row. And today we have some really amazing hands-on AI tips. If you're listening to this in the middle of the week and you haven't been having a good week, these are going to let you have an amazing week, close it out on a strong note. But first, I want to turn it over to your host, as always, ODI Productions. Odie, what is new in AI this week that you've been sort of playing around with? We've been talking about that the past 2 weeks. Yeah. What have you been trying out?
Yeah, glad you asked. I've been going down the rabbit hole with AI. So I don't know if you guys have heard that AI Drake featuring The Weeknd song, I think it's called Heart on My Sleeve, and there was a big like legal battle, I think, or there's potential lawsuits with, I believe, Universal, the record label that owns those rights. And it's just interesting. So you guys, well, maybe some of you don't know, but I do have a background as a music producer and also as an audio engineer. And so for me, you know, music, this is like right up my alley. And what I did, I was up till like 1 a.m. last night. I was experimenting with all of these AI music tools. And one in particular allows you to transform any voice to any other artist that they have a model on. So some of the ones I was doing was like, you know, turning a Taylor Swift voice into Ed Sheeran. And I listened to a lot of Ed Sheeran, and it was so accurate. It is really insane what you can do. Now, obviously, the implications in terms of, you know, the legalities, the royalties, and everything with the record labels, it's still up in the air. The dust is still settling. But go to YouTube, look up something like Kanye West AI cover, and you'll hear him singing all sorts of different genres and songs. And it's so fascinating how good these things sound, because it's like if you have a song you really like, it's like hearing it for the first time, which you could never do again. And a big part of music is novelty, at least for me. I like to hear, you know, I'll listen to the same song like a million times if I like it, but I like to hear new music as well. This allows you to refresh any song that you previously liked with a new artist that you may also like. And it just creates this brand new mutation that is so fascinating. I mean, I really recommend you guys, you know, go on YouTube and listen to some of these AI covers. Ariana Grande covering The Weeknd songs. It is beautiful, beautiful music. And it's got me inspired to make music again, which is just insane. And, you know, I don't know the future of this, but I just want to throw that out there for any of you, you know, music listeners. Check it out. I guarantee it will blow your mind. And so the next thing we should talk about is my favorite AI tool of the week, which I showed Kit right before this episode, profilepicture.ai, not affiliated in any way. And if you want to see the results, you can go to my website, odiproductions.com. It is AI-generated images of myself that is on my header. It's on my author picture. And you can see that basically for $8, it was on sale, but I had 100 pictures of myself generated with AI. Some of them like kind of look like they're painted, like artistic, cartoony. Some of them realistic, like I'm wearing a suit, which I was not wearing in any of the pictures I fed it as a model. You have to submit 20 pictures and it trains itself on how you look. And then it creates all these different variations based on what you ask for. You can ask for like cartoony, like artwork type ones, or you can ask for like a LinkedIn, you know, I'm wearing a suit and kind of like a professional photographer photo shoot without even having to, you know, go hire one and dress up. So Kit, I what were your thoughts when you saw these like AI generated pictures of me who, you know what I look like, you know, what did you think of those?
It was pretty wild how good it was. When I even think, you know, I think like 2 years ago, I was like, hey, I want a cartoon picture of myself, and I paid somebody on Fiverr for it. It was fine. Mm-hmm. But when I see what this can do, it's really wild. And I think we're entering this new era. We used to always talk to people about, okay, hey, I don't want a personal brand, but I want to create content. Well, we are now in the golden age of you being able to do that. Whereas you used to have to tell people, yes, like you, how you started, like, hey, just make a PowerPoint, voice over yourself, blah, blah, blah. Now there's so many tools. And I think one of the things we want to do every week when we talk about AI stuff is you probably hear about it all the time. We're going to bring you the stuff that you can start using right now, actionable tips that can really improve your affiliate marketing business. And when you see something like this, whereas before, if you've ever tried to get a headshot, it'll take hours. It's frustrating. It feels very self-conscious to get photos taken of yourself. It's very uncomfortable.
Especially for guys. Because I was thinking about this. So like, you know, for like dating apps, I know guys are really bad at taking pictures of themselves. We just, you know, we're not like girls where they'll take 100 pictures and choose like the top five. Guys are just very camera shy for the most part. And we'll take like one or two pictures and they're not perfect. The lighting's horrible. And then we'll be like, all right, we call it a day. And so I think this is a dream because you can have like these like photo shoot level quality photos of yourself and you don't even have to, you know, get off the couch. Like it's awesome.
Yeah. And I think what we always saw, you know, with affiliate marketing, with anything online, it would always be those little things that would really stop people. They'd be like, whoa, you know, how do I get a professional looking logo? And they would kind of get hung up there. And we'd go, hey, what you need to start getting is getting that content out. And now with things like this, I was really impressed because it's like, hey, of the 100 photos it'll generate for you, you'll really like a bunch. You'll get some cool things. You'll get some different things to do. And you can start sort of iterating. Hey, maybe I'll try an image style. Like, you know, we know, hey, a great way to make your blog look good is have a consistent visual theme. Well, before, oh my God, was that hard to do? Well, now, use stuff like this, it's amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. So hopefully some of you guys can check that out and find value from it. I personally found so much value because what's interesting is, again, if you're shy, this is perfect for you because it basically creates like this persona or this caricature of yourself. And to be honest, like a lot of these pictures I looked at that were resembling me, they look better than me. So if anything, it's kind of like this confidence booster of, oh, wow, like maybe I should do my hair like my AI avatar because, you know, he's handsome. You know, maybe it gives me some ideas for how I can like, you know, switch things up. But that said, it's kind of like a nice, you know, you can kind of be semi anonymous online while still having a personality through these AI generated artwork. So check that out, profilepicture.ai. I thought it was really cool. Again, like it was only $8 for 100 pictures and I liked pretty much half of them in terms of like I would use half of them online, which I think is amazing success rate. But yeah, so we're going to jump into today's topic now that we have some of that AI news out of the way. I just want to get you guys caught up to speed because I mean, every single week it's like a whirlwind and I know it's overwhelming. So maybe we could just at least, you know, share some of the cool things you guys can check out. But we're going to talk about SEO and we're going to talk about obviously how does SEO play a role in terms of this AI future. And, you know, I just want to start off by saying nobody knows. So if you have people online who are saying, okay, here's how it's going to go down. Nobody knows. All right. Not even, you know, the people who are in the space, who are deep into AI or even work for these companies like Microsoft and Google. Nobody knows how things are going to play out because it's all just the Wild West all over again. And so that's the first thing. Now, the second thing that I know as a fact is AI content is ranking and has been ranking since GPT-3. If anything, I've seen more success with GPT 3.5 Turbo, which is ChatGPT's model, and they do have GPT-4 in early kind of beta, and those content are ranking. That said, there's different quality in terms of your prompts, and I had released a video last week showing some cool, you know, quick prompts you can do and how to modify them to get better output. And at the end of the day, if people are like, oh, you know, AI content doesn't rank or it's being demoted like on Google, I mean, the truth is I've seen data, I've seen the Google Search Console charts that shows AI content is ranking just as well, if not better than normal human-made content in many cases. So that's the first thing. But yeah, Kit, what do you think about, you know, the future of AI and SEO?
Yeah, I think what people need to remember is Google's goal right now with SEO is helpful content. They just pushed out a big, huge helpful content update that we'll touch on more in the future, but they're trying to get useful content in front of people. That's what they want. At the end of the day, they only hate AI when people are spamming it and making just horrible quality stuff. But there's plenty of stuff written by humans that's horrible, horrible quality.
Yeah.
And so if you're going, hey, I want to provide good quality stuff, you can do that with AI. If you are taking the steps, if you're working on your prompts, if you're figuring out, and because AI has gotten so good,
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff. Like if you say, if you ask GPT, you know, hey, I want to change my password on a site. I need to learn how to, it'll spit out the exact instructions. It's amazing. And so if you need to stop thinking, hey, it was AI, not AI. What Google cares about is it useful and helpful?
Yes. And I believe John Mueller from Google did come out and say that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether it's AI generated or not. It just has to be high quality. And like you said, there's a lot of human-made content I've seen that is absolute garbage. On the flip side, I've seen AI content that is also not good, but typically AI content is better on average than humans. So that's just an interesting thing where at the end of the day, there's still more important things like the quality of your content, niching down, having specific, you know, HTML structure and being helpful. And so one thing that I want to bring up that I saw on Twitter is a Twitter user and another one, they're talking about how their rankings have dropped. And basically, they were mentioning how they were in a broad niche. And how one user had a bunch of sites, they were, you know, losing rankings and going, having a declining graph on Google Search Console, except for one, which was a super niche site. So we've always talked about niching down. And people, you know, if you're scared to niche down, then at the end of the day, you know, it shows that lack of experience where, I mean, even small niches can be very, very profitable and you can compete better when the niche is smaller. If you're too general, Google is not going to see topical authority. So topical authority, and this is something that I worked on over the weekend. I wrote 10 blog posts on my personal website. You can check it out. Actually, you know, I added like a cool sort of restructuring to my website. I've revamped it a bit. Other than those AI pictures, I've added a way to see best affiliate programs. And I wrote a bunch of articles on affiliate programs like Walmart, eBay, Sephora, etc. And so, you know, check out that content. That said, if I'm trying to establish topical authority, I will create like a pillar post on affiliate marketing and I'll have like 20 posts interlinked underneath that with categories underneath affiliate marketing, like affiliate marketing for beginners, because that's a big keyword. I'll also have best affiliate programs because that's a big keyword as a pillar post. And that links to 8 to 10 individual posts that are like, again, like Walmart affiliate program, because that goes underneath that category. Following this structure, they call this hub and spoke. You may hear it, you know, called silo. It's all essentially the same thing where we're following this very logical structure for the Googlebot to crawl and to understand, oh, this person, they write a lot about affiliate marketing. Huh, they must know, you know, a lot. They must be an expert. Whereas if I write about, let's say, 10 different subjects in one website, what kind of message do you think that sends to Google? In terms of, oh, do you think this guy's an expert or is this a low spammy, is this an AI generated site or just like, you know, prior to AI, they had plenty of content spinners. These were these like, they're way worse than AI where they would literally pretty much copy and paste content from other websites and ranking on the first page. And they would just paraphrase or rephrase some of the words, but it's largely plagiarism. ChatGPT on the flip side at least is much, much, much better than that because at least it can like rephrase things, you know, very elegantly. But yeah, so that's the first thing is topical authority is very important to focus on. One, you niche down on your whole site, but then two, your content must also be feeding into, you know, a specific niche to show your expertise.
Yeah, and I think it's something that people, you know, even in your own searches, I've noticed in my own searches for products, I go away from the big niche ones. I've been looking for a vacuum. And I go away, I don't care what Good Housekeeping says because they're this giant site. I have zero confidence that their writer on vacuums knows what they're talking about. Instead, I can go on YouTube, I can go on Google, and I can find somebody who, hey, that's just all they talk about. And yes, they'll give, and you can go down this rabbit hole. You're like, oh, okay. What's the difference between, you know, this model versus this style? And you can kind of get just a lot more help than you ever would at a giant site.
Yeah. And it's funny because I actually was doing vacuum shopping as well. I ended up with this Dyson cordless vacuum, which I really recommend, by the way. So when you're doing product reviews and you're looking for that content, people are worried, oh, I can just ask ChatGPT, or I can ask Bing, or I can ask Google Bard, hey, what's the best vacuum? Even if it spits out like a top 7 list for me, I am still going to go out of my way to read real reviews, and they're going to be on YouTube. They're going to be blogs from actual users. And I'm still going to read these in depth because consumers like to do research these days, like Amazon, you know, reading all the reviews. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to just trust what ChatGPT spits out to me. If we're talking like I'm going to spend $400 or $200, I'm not just going to say, oh, ChatGPT said this is number one. All right, let me just go buy now. No way. I'm still going to do plenty of research. And that's where websites still play a major role because at the end of the day, even though you can have things answered by like ChatGPT, Bing, whatever, like those questions for the most part are like informational. Yes, you can ask like transactional ones, but I'm not going to make a decision based on what it tells me. No way. Like, you know, so that's one sort of perspective that I do have for like affiliate type content and reviews. Now, I heard this other thing on Twitter, which was interesting. I wish I remembered like the author, I would link it, but they talked about this AI content shotgun approach of just posting like 100 AI generated articles, not even like modifying them that much, just posting them, having them get indexed. And then what they did is they monitored Google Search Console to see the posts that are picking up traction, that are getting impressions. And then they would go back and they would rewrite and they would optimize those specific posts and actually given the effort to, you know, get them up to, let's say, 2,000 words to format all the H2 headings and do the proper like related keywords, etc. So I thought this approach was kind of brilliant in a way, and I'm kind of a fan of it because you kind of like spray and pray. Now I do like the sniper approach of, you know, you really focus on your keyword research, you get good opportunities, and then you execute. That said, I think that because of AI and how like easy it is to generate large amounts of content, I mean, to me, I didn't really see anything wrong with this because it was like, okay, show me validation that these pages are getting some kind of traction, then I will show you effort and then I will improve them so that they can further, you know, double down, triple down on what's already working. So, okay, well, you know, what do you think about this kind of strategy?
Yeah, I think it's something that wouldn't have been possible before. Yeah. But now, and I think, you know, what it lets you do is if you go, look, I need to get all these articles out, you can sort of generate something passable, very much like a startup, right? You're like, all right, this isn't going to be the final form of this, but yes. Does this get traction? Okay, people are interested in this. Okay, now I can sort of properly assign the resources. Okay, they're really interested in these kind of products. All right, now let me do an even deeper dive myself on these, and then I can even add more things. Maybe I'll add additional content around it. And you can kind of let the audience tell you a bunch, because I think something right now is like with a lot of SEO sort of changing, a lot of people be experimenting, and this lets you, yes, as a small author, run experiments that you could have never done before.
Yes. Well put. You know, you're not going to spend like hundreds, thousands of dollars to write or hire writers to do 100 articles that you're not sure whether they're going to do well or not. But you can do it with AI because, you know, the cost per article these days, guys, has just plummeted. It is like almost free thanks to ChatGPT if you know what you're doing and if you know how to kind of like prompt engineer. But speaking of which, that actually takes us to our sponsor for the day. So here's a quick message from today's sponsor. JetPage is the simplest all-in-one blogging platform that helps you research, write, and publish content 10 times faster with AI. JetPage is now powered by ChatGPT and allows you to write one-click blog posts, do keyword research, and generate SEO-friendly blog article titles and ideas. Try JetPage completely for free for 14 days using my affiliate link in the podcast description or Google JetPage. No credit card required. That said, let's jump back into today's episode. All right, so over the weekend, I got my hands dirty. I wrote 10 articles. You can check them out on my website, odiproductions.com. And, you know, I just want to say to you guys, beginners who are struggling and, you know, you're trying to get started, I understand. You know, it does take a lot of motivation. And it, you know, speaking of which, on my website, I added a resources page with some of my favorite books. So far, it's only Tony Robbins, Awaken the Giant Within, and MJ DeMarco, Millionaire Fastlane, but I plan to add a lot more of these resources. But, you know, motivation aside, momentum is so important if you're starting out, and so is speed. And that's one thing that I think if you're a beginner, you don't really see the reward. Like, you haven't wired your brain to be like, okay, published a blog post, that feels good, and I need to reward myself with something, whether it's like a, you know, it could be like a fast food meal, it could be like, you know, you go watch a movie. It feels so much better to enjoy these entertainment and things once you've accomplished the task you set out to accomplish. But I will say that first article, that, I mean, that was a drag. But once you get that first one done, I was surprised how that momentum carried me into my second, my third, my fourth. I did basically 4 or 5 posts per day over the weekend. And, you know, we still had Mother's Day that I spent with family, and I still took time out of my day, but I still made sure I got the work done. And that's something that brings me back to the early days of recording now, where it will be 9 p.m. I'll be staring at the clock and I'll be saying to myself, you know what? I told myself I was going to finish this voiceover today. And look, I, you know, I'm staring at the GarageBand. I haven't recorded yet, but I need to get this done. Now, obviously, you know, you could put it off to the next day, but I will feel like a disappointment in myself if I didn't get done what I said I was going to get done. It was the same with these blog posts. Like, was it a drag to get some of these done? Absolutely. But once I got that first one done, and I was doing these posts on reviewing affiliate programs, and there's a specific format to it that I had created in the first post that I realized, hey, I just click this clone button in JetPage, and the next thing I know, I can just reformat, or I don't have to reformat, I can just fill in the information of the other affiliate programs very easily. And I got into this workflow where even for the thumbnails, you guys will see I made in Canva. And I basically just like swapped out the background for whatever affiliate program. You know, I just get the picture or the logo from Google. I just drop it in, and then boom, I have an original blog post featured image thumbnail. And so I got into this, you know, this rhythm. And again, I knocked out about 10 blog posts in the course of a couple of days over the weekend. And this is the type of effort you need to put in. You know, hard work is really like the bare minimum to get in the game. So I want you guys to just see, this is what it's like when you're actually, you know, trying to have urgency and you need to have speed. When people are like, oh man, you know, I did one blog post last month. It's like, dude, you know, I get it. It is hard for anyone, even with the help of AI, which does, you know, greatly help you get started. And it definitely sped up my workflow, like who knows how much. That said, it's like, look, if I can knock out 5 posts in a single day, like I really don't see excuses. And it's hard because I think if you're a beginner, you haven't rewired your brain to associate the reward with that effort. You're still thinking like, hey, if I don't see clicks, if I don't see sales, that's the only time I reward myself. But that is backwards. You can't control how many sales you get. And I know. What I can control is if I do 5 blog posts a day, or if I create a YouTube video. And to be honest, guys, a YouTube video is much harder than blog posts. If I had to sort of give the perspective, I would rather write blog posts all day as opposed to creating a YouTube video from scratch, which is very difficult. But again, that's another opportunity for someone else. If they're like, okay, everyone else hates making YouTube videos, I'm gonna step up. Maybe I'll use some AI tools to help, you know, speed up the workflow. But that is a gap in the market that other people are just too scared. They don't have the courage or, you know, the wherewithal to tackle.
And I think you make a great point too about goals, making them something that you control, not results-based. Because, you know, I've seen many people around me go for goals, and, you know, two people set the same one. And the difference between the person who makes and doesn't is the one is doing effort-based, and they give a little bit long-term perspective, because or else you get burnt out. It's losing weight, if it's getting in shape, if it's getting a new job, if it's building your own business, having ones where you're like, okay, in the short term, like that's the win, because the little wins are what adds up and becomes huge over time. And at first it's hard to see it. It's like, right? Affiliate marketing and exponential growth, right? There are weight loss. It's all small. And so making an effort base where you feel at the end of the day, like, no, I know I did good work. And then you will get addicted to that. And you'll be like, oh man, I bet I can do one more. I bet I can do 2 more. And you'll just keep going and going and going.
Yeah, that's really well said, because I think the difference between me who's experienced and a lot of beginners is I know what the fruits of my labor are going to bear in the future. Whereas you, if you're a beginner, you've never had your first sale, you don't know the joy of that feeling where it clicks for you, where you're like, oh, this is real. This can work for me. I've already experienced that many times. So for me, when I'm doing the work, I almost expect results. And I'm flexible in terms of like, I don't expect results tomorrow, but I know the time frames. And I know I do expect results within, let's say, a few months. You know, I know how things work in terms of how long does it take to index? How long does it take to mature on Google? I've been here before. So for me, when I'm putting in the work, I am rewarding myself. I'm very happy when I, you know, again, I'm staring at the clock. It's 9 o'clock. I had already done 2 blog posts that morning. I hung out with family. It was Mother's Day. And then I got back and I said, hey, look, I have 2 choices today. I can either just go watch a movie, play video games, go to sleep, and then try again tomorrow, or I can get these 2 done and I can really be happy with myself. And I thankfully, you know, I don't know how, I just dug deep and then I did the other 2 blog posts. And guess what? I felt amazing. I felt that I proved to myself, hey, you can work hard. Like, you know, again, it's getting my hands dirty, and just understanding most people are struggling with this sort of motivation. But I really think in your brain, you have to just rewire. Putting in effort should just feel good. Going to the gym in a weird way is like the reward. You know what I mean? I know it's, for some people, it's like an absolute, you know, nightmare to force themselves to make it to the gym. And it's just like pulling teeth. But like once you start feeling good about, hey, I showed up today, then that just compounds so much, because it's very easy to just be like, all right, you know what? Today is not the day. I'm not feeling it. No one's ever feeling it, right? So for some people, it's the gym. Some people, it's eating healthy. For some people, it's writing this blog, creating this content, getting out there. And it even happens for me. And I've been doing this for a long time. So if even I'm struggling with this kind of motivation sometimes, then I know beginners are even worse, because you haven't had that taste of, like, let's say your first sale or your first $1,000 a month or making a full-time living. Like for veterans, this is not our first rodeo. So if we try something and we work really hard, we put a lot of effort, and even if it doesn't go our way, we understand, because we're like, hey, you know, you win some, you lose some, but we have to, you know, get the numbers up, and we have to put in the effort.
And I think you made a really good point when you said, hey, you know, hey, I could regroup, watch a movie, try again the next day. That is the biggest like poison that I think everybody faces, because it is really easy, because it makes sense. Be like, you know, I need to rest today and I'll feel good tomorrow. Yeah. No, because you won't. Like you'll stay up, you'll do, you know, you'll play the video game a little too long and then you're tired and it just keeps going. Whereas if you go, you know what, even if it's like, all right, I have to do something. I will set that timer for an hour and I will just do what I can. That way I got something done. That is always better. Even if it's 30 minutes of work, that is always better than packing it in, because that always carries over to the next day. It just always does. You will wake up, you'll be tired, and then you won't want to do it.
Don't
feel it. Yeah.
I
think I'll relax this morning and I'll get it done in the afternoon. Like do the little thing that, you know, and there'll be days you need to rest, but getting in that little bit of work so you keep that momentum going.
Yeah, and I want to add to that. Look, I had already done 2 blog posts that day, so I could have justified and said, hey, you already did 2. I mean, that's already a net positive, right? And then you can afford to take a break. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I know I'm capable of 4, I can't settle for just doing 2, because that means I did 50% of my potential. If you're a beginner, then maybe, you know, 1 per day is like huge. And I think it is. If you do 1 a day for like 7 days straight, like that's massive. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you know you're capable of 2 and you only do 1 out of 2, I think it's just that, you know, missing that gap is a bit tragic to me of like, hey, if you're capable of more, just do more, you know? And I did want to say some like tactical tips on the SEO that I was doing. So one thing that people just forget to do when they're making content. So let's say you get your keywords, right? No matter what tool you use, you have your keyword opportunities. The first thing you do is you search it on Google. You do this so you can see the search intent. 1, what are people even like trying to get from this keyword? It may not be what you think. It may not be your first instinct. Second of all, look at the what people also ask section. There's usually like 4 questions, and if you open one up, it will expand to more, but typically only the first 3 to 4 are relevant to your keyword. The other ones start to get more broad. Use those as your H2 headings in your content, and answer those FAQs and those frequently asked. You might want to reword it a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's just better to answer those than to not, because that means something significant to Google that, hey, people are trying to get this info from these articles. If you can answer all of those relevant questions, then, you know, for example, when I was writing about affiliate programs, a lot of times people would ask, what's their commission rates? Oh, perfect. I'll just include the commission rates. And I'm making good quality content. So one specific example was Shein. So I don't know anything about Shein, to be honest with you, but with a little Googling, I'm able to write a whole blog post about their affiliate program. But basically, it's hard to find Shein's USA affiliate program, because when you look up Shein affiliate program, you also see auto complete suggestions below, and those can be related keywords. Or you can scroll down on the search engine results and you'll see related keywords as well. And you can use those for H2 headings as well. You incorporate them in certain ways. So for example, I would say something like, how do I join Shein affiliate program in the USA? And surprisingly enough, if you search this, it's hard to find info on the USA Shein affiliate program. I was able to figure out, oh, you have to join through something like ShareSale or Commission Junction or AWIN. And it wasn't obvious to people that like you have to go through these hoops, but I can just share that to you. And that's actually, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the user experience. And I think that I am a resource to people who are searching for this thing that's hard to find, to be honest. And I couldn't even find it for a while. So I'm like, okay, this has to help people, because like I just broke it down. Here's the link to join on ShareSale. And then I explained, hey, if you're joining ShareSale, you need a website. And that's another H2. Do I need a website to join Target affiliate program, etc.? Right? And I answer it straight up, like, yes, in the application, they ask you for a family-friendly website. So this is useful content to people. Like, I'm an actual, you know, my content is aiming to be valuable and a resource to help people who are searching these terms. So that's something to always think about when you're making content, is the search intent. Use those H2 headings for both related keywords and for what people frequently ask. This will give you some good content that's going to help anyone. The last two things I want to say are, you want to add a lot of internal links to your content to other relevant contextual content on your website. Really make a strong web of like, okay, if I read about one affiliate program, I'm going to link eight other affiliate programs within this post, and it's going to show to Google, hey, this person knows affiliate programs because look at all these posts they're writing about. And the other thing is external. I like to link out to .gov or .edu websites. These are websites that it's not really going to hurt us to give them any link juice, because I mean, they're like nonprofits. That said, they are viewed with authority. And although outgoing links is not necessarily something that's directly going to help your site, I just think at the end of the day, when it comes to backlinks, whether you're the one giving them or you're the one, you know, receiving them, like it just helps to be interconnected with the rest of the internet and with high quality domain rating websites, whether it's outbound, whether it's inbound. I just think it's good to play ball with, you know, don't just be your isolated website that has zero backlinks and you also don't link out to anything else, and you don't even do like bare minimum, like posting on Twitter and Facebook, which is free, you know what I mean? So that basically is some of the tactical hands-on tips that I learned being in the field, getting my hands dirty. And, you know, I hope the mindset advice helps some of you, because, you know, I felt it too. Like, it's not easy, but that's why the opportunity is here. If you're able to get over that hump and you're able to master yourself, and I think that that's really the reward. You know, not to get all fairy tale, but like the journey and like proving to yourself, hey, I'm setting out to get this goal achieved and I'm going to get it done, and I will not accept anything less than what I know I'm capable of. That right there, I think that's a reward in itself. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have. Kid, do you have any you know, closing thoughts for people?
Just take some action. This can be your call. Yes. This week. It literally has never been easier. You know, go on JetPay.
The tools are there.
Start a free trial. Like, you can just start going. And even if it's something little, you can start going. I'm sure you've had ideas. You've been kicking around for a while. Just get started. It's getting over that hump is what's important.
Yeah. And guys, I want to reiterate, it will feel so good. Like, I want you guys to know that that feeling of accomplishment and setting out to do something difficult, right? Like, whether it's writing a blog post, recording a YouTube video, right? This is not something that most average people are like chomping at the bit to do and jumping out of bed. That's why most people fail and most people don't get to this point. But if you can be the person who's like, hey, I'm going to shock the system. I'm going to do something different this week. And that's a concept that, you know, we had in my company where basically if you're starting off the week like Monday and you shock the system, you punch the week in the mouth by like, you know what, I'm going to get that big hairy task done of getting that YouTube video filmed or getting that blog post written. I mean, it's amazing how good you'll feel and how you can carry that momentum into everything else for the rest of the week. So anyways, I hope you all enjoy this episode. I want to give a shout out to all the listeners and all the support we've been getting lately. I know we took that 3-month hiatus, and I'm so glad to hear that you guys had missed the podcast and you're happy for us to be back. And we've been back for 3 weeks in a row. And we want to keep this up. So if you want to, you know, hear more episodes, then you can shoot us an email, support@odiproductions.com. If you have any, you know, topics you want us to cover, and if you do want to support us and help us on our mission, then please go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review with some feedback. We like to read these reviews and it really keeps us going. So if you guys want to support, that's how you can do it. But until next week, thank you guys for tuning in and we appreciate your time. And we wish you the best of luck. So thank you guys and have a good day.